are listening to BMRN. Voice Marketing Radio Network. Global food for thought.
It's time for eBay Radio, where the advanced eBay seller can get some answers, share some tips, or just loiter till the kids get home. Now, here is your host, Griff.
And this segment is sponsored by GoDaddy Online Bookkeeping. Put your eBay small business finances on autopilot. If you're like most sellers, I love when we start off with that. If you're like most sellers, you're up to your eyebrows in paperwork. Well, here now to tell us how to make that paperwork paperless is Brooks Duncan, owner of DocumentSnap.com. Brooks, who are you? What do you do? Tell us.
So my name is Brooks Duncan. I run DocumentSnap.com, which is a website all about going paperless. I help individuals and small businesses go paperless. I have, you know, products and courses and consulting and that sort of thing, trying to get people out of that paperwork up to their eyeballs.
Is it even possible to go totally paperless?
Well, you know, paperless is kind of a weird term because it implies a complete lack of paper, a complete absence of paper. You know, chances are we're not going to be able to get rid of all the paper in our life or our business. And, you know, most of us don't want to anyway. We like writing notes on Post-its, or we like, you know, jotting things down, and we like maybe reading stuff on paper. So it's not necessarily about getting rid of all the paper in our life. It's more about being able to quickly access the information that you're looking for right when you need it, and just being a bit more mindful about the paper that we create and the paper that we use.
Okay.
I guess I don't trust electricity or something. I don't know. I do a lot on, you know, thumb drives, so... You know, I do a great deal of my saving stuff on thumb drives or in the cloud, which scares me too. But I always seem to want a copy of it, a paper copy somewhere. It makes me feel secure. What do you say to that?
Well, can I say something?
No.
I think you're old. Go. That's why that happens. Right.
Well, you
Brooks
know,
the is young. Brooks,
say is,
Brooks, you're young, right? Brooks, you're young, right?
Well, I'm 40, so I guess that's a matter of perspective.
You're younger than us.
I'm pretty old.
Yeah.
I make a joke, but it is hard to go paperless.
But you see, I am an early adopter of computers from years before some of our listeners were even using computers, and I still get nervous about going paperless. So give us some tips. What can we do?
You know, your case is pretty common, and what I would say, first of all, is we all have to do what we're comfortable with. So, we all have to go as far as we're comfortable. In a case like yours, maybe it's not about getting rid of all the paper per se. You know, maybe we have that paper backup kept somewhere out of the way, but it's about having things digitized, having them searchable, and to me, most important, having them backed up in multiple locations. Because,
uh-huh.
You know, if you have a piece of paper, once it's gone, it's gone. Whereas if you have it also in digital form, you can have it stored in multiple places, and if something were to happen to that original piece of paper, you've got it, you're able to retrieve it again. So it's just about doing what works for us.
I want to go totally paperless. I just spent a weekend going through paper. I hated it.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
a big thorn in my side.
I don't know how to get started.
What do we do?
What's a first
Brooks?
Step? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, the first step, what I would say is, first of all, figure out what it is you're trying to do. You know, like, what does your end goal look like? Because then as you're going through the process, you kind of have something to evaluate this project against. Because there's lots of different tools, there's lots of software and hardware out there, so you want to kind of be moving towards a certain goal. The next thing I recommend doing is starting with the paper that you have, you know, the new paper that you're generating, and work through, you know, your workflow around that. A mistake some people make is they decide they want to go paperless, so they start scanning their big backlog, you know, their filing cabinets or whatever, and it just gets frustrating. So what I recommend is start with the new stuff first, get everything nailed down.
This is a great time of year for that, because you could start with January 1st.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people, January is a time a lot of us start doing this stuff because we want to get sorted for this current year. Exactly right.
Hey, all right, let him finish first, Griff. This is very important
to me. Well, I'm so anxious. I want to do this.
I know, me too. So,
yeah,
Go ahead.
So I would say another, I don't want to say a mistake, but another thing that I see quite a bit is, you know, we all have these all-in-one devices with a flatbed scanner.
Yeah.
And what happens is a lot of times we decide we want to go paperless, so we start using that. And, you know, that's fine. You can definitely start with that. But a lot of people tend to get pretty frustrated because it's so slow, you know, scanning this piece of paper, then maybe you have to flip it over, wait for it to finish, then get the next page. And so it's a very slow process. So if you're really going to jump into this with both feet, there's some pretty good document-specific scanners out there that you can pick up that make scanning and processing documents really, really fast. So I generally recommend looking at doing that, especially if you have a lot of paper to work with.
Okay, instead of the three deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of these scanners have document feeders, so you can
right.
stack a paper in, hit a button, and it will go through and scan them both. And a lot of them will scan both sides of the page at the same time. So it makes it super, super fast.
Well, I was going to ask you specifically about that, because there are, and I can't remember the brand name, and it's just as well, there are scanners out there that are specifically designed for scanning receipts, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's lots of good scanners out there. There's Fujitsu makes a line called the ScanSnap, which is very good. That's what I use. But also the Neat scanners are out there that a lot of people like. They have a small version called Neat Receipts, which is more a receipt-specific scanner. But they've just released a new one called the Neat Connect, which is more of a full-size document scanner, but it works totally wirelessly, so you don't have to have it plugged into your computer in order to use it. So,
What's the one that you use again from Fujitsu?
I use a scanner called the Fujitsu ScanSnap IX500. That's what I personally
use. But this new one, he said, is Bluetooth, right?
It's not
wireless.
It's
wireless.
Wi-Fi. It connects to your Wi-Fi network. The IX500 does as well, actually, yeah.
I'm going to use what he's using. He's the expert.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a really good and really fast one. Another thing that I see people do tend to do is they decide they're going to go paperless, so they'll throw a bunch of paper, they'll start scanning, and then, you know, they've kind of replaced their physical paper mess with a digital mess. So they've got, you know, PDFs all over their computer instead of paper all over their desk.
Yeah.
So it's a good practice to think ahead of time of how you want your documents to be organized. And it doesn't have to be complex. It can be a very simple file and folder structure, or you can use software if you want. But you want to try and establish that up front so that you have somewhere for these electronic documents to go.
Makes sense.
And for me, you know, why are we doing this? Why, aside from getting rid of clutter, you know, the reason that we're doing this is because we want to find these documents
yes.
later.
Yes, yes.
You know, so, and that's what a lot of us are afraid of. You know, when we have a physical piece of paper, we can see it there on our desk. But if it's digital, how do we find these things again? So for me, the biggest thing that you can do in order to find these documents later is to use some sort of consistent and descriptive naming convention and try to name these documents similarly as you're scanning them. So, you know, your gas bill or whatever is named the same way, or your invoices or purchase receipts are named.
Then they'll all come up in a list when you put it in.
Exactly, exactly. Because, you know, our Mac and Windows computers that we have now, they both have very good document search built in. There's tools you can get to take it farther, but the built-in tools actually work quite well. So if you know how these documents are going to be named, yes, we can look through files and folders and find the PDF that we want, but if we take a couple minutes to learn how the search on our computers work, you can just like instantaneously have the document that you're looking for right in front of you. It's very, very fast.
That's very exciting.
Cool. I'm going to try this.
So I've been waiting for a document to arrive for some time now that's going to need an electronic signature. And I know, for a fact that more and more companies are allowing electronic signatures, which I find fascinating. And I always do it with they send a PDF, and I have this little thing with the PDF that I press, and it automatically puts my signature in.
Mm-hmm.
Is that big now? Is that?
It's getting much more common. for sure. And what a lot of people do, you're actually ahead of the curve. What most people tend to do in that situation is you'll have a PDF sent to you, or you'll download it off a website, and then they'll print it out, sign it, and then scan it back in. Or
pain in the butt.
Yeah. So that's what I would say. That's what most people do. But one option is exactly what you're talking about. There's free tools out there. It's built into Mac OS X. You can drop your signature right into a PDF, or Adobe Reader. Actually, maybe this is what you're using.
Yeah.
Adobe Reader has it built in where you can also drop an image of your signature right into the document.
And it's so fast. All you have to do is make your signature, you know, take a picture of it, scan it, put it in there. It stays there. And then every time you have to put your signature in, it's just drag and drop.
Yeah, exactly. And you can even take things a bit further. If you want it to be even more kind of secure and trackable, there's services out there like DocuSign and EchoSign where it will track, you know, it will show, you know, this person viewed this document at this time, this person dropped their signature in at this time from this IP address. And, you know, it has all these kind of authentication.
That is exciting. There is our music. DocumentSnap.com. Go there now and save a tree.
Thanks, Brooks Duncan from DocumentSnap.com. This segment was sponsored by GoDaddy Online Bookkeeping. Put your eBay small businesses on autopilot. Coming up next, We Love Lucy here on eBay Radio.
Sharpen your edge, improve your skills, and find that extra inside tip or new technique. Go to ebayradio.com and click on the big archive button. Once you're on the archives page, click on the seller resource tab. There you'll find a directory of local seller groups, a curated list of must-read books to help grow your eBay business, as well as great entrepreneurial tips. Again, go to ebayradio.com, click on the big blue archive button, and then the seller resource tab at ebayradio.com.
Welcome to Sourcing Smarter, brought to you by Genco Marketplace, where eBay sellers source profitable inventory.
Reselling store returns is a double-edged sword for eBayers. Returns are a great source of profit because you can buy pallets for as low as 5% of retail. But a small percent of the products will be unsellable. Some eBayers don't want to take the time to sort out these products. .com returns offer the best of both worlds. You can buy pallets at low liquidation prices, but the lots are cleaner than store returns. Most online returns are due to buyer's remorse. Maybe the item was the wrong color or wrong size. So the consumer sends the new item back and online retailers sell it off in bulk in the liquidation market. This spells opportunity for eBayers. To learn more, Google .com returns and see who is reselling this product.
That's Sourcing Smarter, brought to you by Genco Marketplace, where eBay sellers source profitable inventory. For more product sourcing ideas, visit GencoMarketplace.com/eBay.
Stamps.com wants to give you a free 5-pound shipping scale. Simply sign up for our free program for eBay sellers. You get all the features that Stamps.com provides, custom designed for your eBay sales, including the printing of all USPS mail classes and batch printing, plus the ability to brand shipping labels with your company logo. eBay sellers, sign up now for your free program and get your bonus 5-pound scale today. Shipping and handling fee required at Stamps.com/eBay Radio.
Stitch Labs is inventory management for eBay sellers. With Stitch, staying on top of the not-so-fun stuff has never been easier. It automatically updates your inventory and relists for you. And easy-to-read reports help you know what products to order next. Stitch is easy to use and designed to help you grow. Try Stitch for free today at StitchLabs.com and enter discount code eBayRadio for an extended free trial. Stitch Labs, inventory management for eBay sellers.
To stay up to speed on everything that's happening on eBay Radio, you really need to be on Lee's List. Once you join, you'll receive Lee's exclusive newsletter twice a week, one for each live broadcast, with show news and a show calendar, plus her savvy advice for the entrepreneur, which you can't get anywhere else. To be added to Lee's List, simply send email to Lee at voicemarketing.com with the subject header, Add Me to Lee's List.